Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the dapper dawn. Giving a mug on, dress like a $1 million, buying things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Listening to me. Mm-hmm. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
Listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey got a radio show. Man, God is in the blessing business. I'm in the receiving line. Man, that's a good feeling. You know, I thank God for waking me up in the mornings. I really, really do. I thank God for the spirit that he wakes me up with, because I finally figured it out. Such a blessing that shouldn't be taken for granted, the fact that you are up today, the fact that you just got off work and you driving home, the fact that you got a job to come home from, the fact that you got a job to wake up to, whatever it is, the fact that you can see, think, hear, smell, walk, talk, rhyme, reason, whatever it is, it's a blessing, man. It is a blessing. See, every time he wakes you up, it's him saying, hey, I ain't through with you yet. Hey, man, still got some work for you. Still putting you into the plan. And, you know, I was talking to a partner of mine last night, and an analogy came to me last night of what my life has been like. And I was just going over my story with a friend of mine of some of the things I had gone through, and he never knew it, because he said, man, you never told me that. We were just talking. One of the things I remember, and it's kind of equated to my life, was when I was a little boy, I used to go to the store with my mom, and she would let me buy a jigsaw puzzle. And I loved getting a jigsaw puzzle because, man, it was just interesting to me. You know, for those of you that grew up back in the day, you know, it's kind of cool because, you know, I was telling my partner, you know, it wasn't no video games to play or nothing. So in the wintertime, a jigsaw puzzle was kind of cool to me. It gave me something to do. And what we do is my mother would spread out a piece of newspaper on the section of the floor or spread out some newspaper on the end of a table. And I would buy a jigsaw puzzle. Now, for those of you, a jigsaw puzzle comes in a box. There are no instructions. It just comes in a box. And it's simple. You're going to dump the pieces out in a pile, and you're going to try to put the pieces together until it looks like the picture that's on the cover of the box. That's as simple as it is. Here is the deal. I would select a jigsaw puzzle based on the picture that I liked and if I thought I could do it. Now, if the jigsaw puzzle, if the picture looked too crazy, if it looked too intricate, too detailed, I didn't want that puzzle. You know, and the thing was, back in the day, you got a jigsaw puzzle. You had 100-piece puzzles, 400-piece puzzles. Man, then they say a 1,000-piece puzzle. You go, whew, ooh, man. So those were a little difficult for me when I was a little boy. So I didn't want that. As I got a little bit older, I had more challenging puzzles, you know, 450, 500-piece puzzles. But I always picked a picture of something I liked and wanted to see happen. So it's very simple. You get the jigsaw puzzle, you get it home, you open it up, you dump it out on the table. You flip all the pieces over so you can see them. And then I would try to sort them based on the colors on the box. If it was like a black section, I'd take all the black pieces and slide them over there. If it was some flowers, I'd try to find all the pictures with little jigsaw pieces with the little floor, and I'd separate them. And then I'd start putting it together. And the way I started was I'd try to build the border first because I knew all the straight edges had to be side by side at one point. So I'd go like that. And it was funny, man, because it's related to my life. I would start putting the pieces together of the picture I saw that I liked. And that would be my picture. And oftentimes when I got through with the puzzle would be about maybe 2 feet wide, 2 feet high, something like that. I liked them about that size. Sometimes I get a little bigger one, depending on the size of the piece and stuff. And I would make that puzzle. A lot of people didn't like jigsaw puzzles. The majority of people I knew and my friends didn't like jigsaw puzzles because they didn't like the work. And I had a partner that used to come to my house and see mine and get mad. And he'd go home and start one and it'd get too difficult along the way. And then he'd stop, go back to it. And his puzzle was left unfinished a lot of times. As a matter of fact, none of the boys on the street liked jigsaw puzzles but me. What happened was, as I got older, I wanted more difficult and challenging puzzles, but I wouldn't go too far. I wanted some nice stuff to happen. I had a picture of what I wanted for my life, but I didn't want to go too far because it was so challenging and difficult. I couldn't see myself with all of that, and I didn't have the time, the knowledge, the expertise, the figuring all the intricate details. And I discovered something when I was talking last night. That's what happens in life to a lot of people. You get bogged down with the details of coming up. You say, oh, that puzzle crazy. Next thing you know, you crumble it up and put it back in the box. Or you go halfway and you get stuck. And you get to the part where it ain't a lot of different colors. It's all the same. And that's a little bit more challenging. So that may stop you. But it's somewhere in the jigsaw puzzle that it gets very difficult and challenging, the bigger the picture you want. But then what'll happen in your life is just like what'll happen in a jigsaw. Once you get comfortable and you don't mind a challenge, you could get a bigger picture. But here's the key to it, though. If you put God in your mix, see, the picture that I saw for myself as a boy is not the picture that has happened to me as a man. Because along the way from boyhood to manhood, from the time I was 10, you understand, what happened along the ride in there was I started putting God in the mix. And so now the picture that I have now is not the picture I saw. It's the picture that God saw. So what I'm saying, this analogy is, the picture you have may be difficult to complete, but if you were to include God in your life, put God in your jigsaw puzzle, God will not only help you complete the puzzle, and he gonna add some pieces, he gonna do some favors, he gonna show some mercy, and you gonna look up, and the picture that you're able to end up with will be totally different and much more complete, much more beautiful, a bigger picture than the one you had, because there is no way that I could have saw the life that I have today back when I was a boy. And it amazes me when I hear people say, I always saw this for myself. I didn't do that. I didn't quite see this for myself. I don't know how you can have the ability to see what God really has for you. But man, he's a masterful jigsaw man. He's an incredible puzzle completer. So if you got a puzzle that's challenging to you, what's the picture that God has for your life? If God were in your life, if you completed the puzzle, what would it look like? It'll be a far more extensive puzzle, and it would be a far more beautiful piece of scenery than you could have ever imagined. And guess what? He ain't through with me yet. That's what's amazing and exciting about a relationship with God. God could take your jigsaw puzzle and fix it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me have your attention, please. The Steve Harvey Morning Show is about to commence. Wow. Now let me commence this with a warning that today will probably be filled with a lot of ignorance.
Ooh. Yeah.
If you don't want that in your day, please turn to that other morning show.
Where there's no ignorance.
Where there's no ignorance and a lot of dry stuff. Go on over there.
If you want to have dryness.
Is that a revelation? It's always ignorance on the show.
Oh, man.
It's going to be more, though.
But it's just, I'm putting it out there because, you know, every time I'm down, they fire shots at me. Every time I ain't feeling myself up. Some negative news come out, they on top of it.
And you want to know why come they do that?
Now just let me tell you something. You can't stop nothing God got for somebody else.
Amen.
You can quit trying.
Amen.
Like fire that. At me, shoot me down, try to pull me down. Here I'm is.
Here I'm is. Ta-da.
Morning, Shirley.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Welcome back.
Yeah, I needed that. What up, Junior?
Morning, Unc. Blessed.
Yeah, I'm trying to get through this congestion. I had a severe sinus infection. Mm. Had a doctor. I had to get on some steroids and some. Oh. So at least I'm stronger.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Good.
It, steroids open up your head, but it make your face fat. I look swollen. I'm over here. I got one side of my face is actually fatter than the other. I guess that's where the congestion was. I don't know what the hell going on. I'm suffering from side effects. Excuse me. Still got some residue in me.
Yeah.
But I'm at work, though.
Yeah, you are.
You made it on in.
Trooper.
I made it on in. Mm-hmm. J. Anthony Brown.
Watch out there now, Steve Harvey.
What's up, Tommy?
Championship team, baby.
Doggy dog. Hip it up, baby. So I just wanted to say I didn't get a chance. I wasn't commenting on it. She's off today for a little bit, having some technical difficulties. Scarlett being in a minute.
Yeah.
I was just going to say the Mississippi State down there.
Man,
boy, I was pulling
hurt
for them girls.
That one hurt.
Man, they had them too, man. But a tall girl fouled out. That hurt them. And I tell you one other thing. That girl from Notre Dame, Abuba Wale,
come on.
That girl right there hit the game winner at the buzzer two games
again
in a row.
Oh, man.
That girl cold, boy.
What's her name?
Just
say Wakanda, dog.
To the Wande.
Forever.
It'll be different every time. And I got a couple of tables. 30-something funny. Y'all, I saw Black Panther this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. Give us the review.
Wait.
We come back. 30-something funny. I can give it to you.
I can't wait. Well, we saw
Steve
Acrimony.
Steve Harvey review of the movie.
We saw Acrimony, and that was certainly your life.
He's been warned not to go see that movie.
Yeah. And we'll be back with something funny. Steve saw, can you believe it, Black Panther. We'll talk about that when we come back at 32 after, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it is time for something funny. We are all just waiting anxiously, Steve. You saw Black Panther over the weekend. Tell us about it. Or did you see it yesterday, Monday?
No. I watched it what day did I watch it? Saturday?
Uh-huh. Okay.
At your house?
Yeah, at my house.
At your house?
Yeah. Disney sent it to me.
In the theater room.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right.
Disney sent it to me.
Come on, man.
They sent the movie or the cast to come over there and reenact the movie.
Chadwick them.
Came home.
Because he's got it like that, Jay.
He got it like that. You know, I know he got it like that.
So, Steve, tell us about it.
This movie, as I saw it, everybody was talking about the imagery and the lessons. The imagery was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Especially during the challenge fight when they were standing under them cliffs with all them people up on them levels of rocks.
Yeah.
Talk about a bad seat if you was at the top. Man, you talk about a bad seat at the fight if you was at the top of that rock. Yeah. You ain't know what the hell was going on, man. They've been playing us with bad seats.
Yeah.
Them balcony seats were rough. Now, this is the hood review of the movie.
Okay.
Hood review. Mm-hmm. All right, ready. The movie all about, you know, when them girls came up to the dude's door that had the guns and were finna go do a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they came in. Now, I didn't know that dude that was next to him, the one that got killed, I didn't know that was Forrest Whitaker. They sure could have got a different looking younger Forrest Whitaker. Cause something happened real bad. It was a couple of accidents or some car accidents. Something happened to that young Forrest to get him to the old Forrest. Cause them two didn't resemble at all.
Car accident.
So I don't know what the hell happened to Forrest between when he was back over there. And he was the other spy.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so now, since y'all seen the movie, I ain't got to go on there.
No.
Right.
Now the little when they killed the dude. And they took the spaceship back, and the little boy ran upstairs, and it was his daddy.
Uh-huh.
His attitude
was stank.
That boy's damn attitude was way too strong.
So
you're going to be that funky man about the whole damn country of Wanda?
Yeah.
Now, what we owe you? You got a little shiny stuff in your lip, what you want? Just come on to the house, and let's work it out. You all up here now. You done joined the Navy SEALs and all this killing folk.
That was Killmonger, right? You're talking about little Killmonger when he was little. Okay.
Yeah, but then he done went all in the Navy SEALs over to Afghanistan, just killing white folks for no reason. You mad at the spaceship. She just brought your ass home.
Yeah.
You sitting up in here, man. You got the blue thing in your lip. You know you're different.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Everybody gonna find that blue thing inside their lip at one point. I mean, damn, you know, big as my lips is, I used to pull them down all the time. I could pull my lip under my chin.
Woo!
Yeah. And so I already knew he'd have looked in there.
Uh-huh.
So, but now he mad. All he want to do is kill some damn body.
Yeah,
now he over there challenging. He wasn't even a good king. You ain't even had king qualities. You a hoodlum. You a killer. What you want to be king for?
Yeah.
Just come on back over to Rwanda. Let her forgive you. You can be second. You his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have been all right.
In case you've just joined us, Steve Harvey is doing his review. His
hood review of the Panther.
Of Black Panther.
All these lessons everybody learned, I appreciate them. Mm-hmm. It was one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yes.
Let's just get to what this movie about.
Okay. All right.
Oh, punk ass, the dude in Creed. What's his name?
Michael B. Jordan.
Punk ass over there just Killmonger. Messing up the whole damn thing. We over here, we got a good thing. It's always one of us. Always one of Rwanda. We over here having a good time. We got the challenge and stuff. We
had
them dudes right there.
Was them Q's, Steve?
Yeah, them was Q's, wasn't it?
The Q's came over there. Big, rough, ain't following the rules. Just a bunch of damn Q's.
Just like you.
Just like them damn Q's. Come over here. The Q's came over. Even the Q's said,
"Do
all right,
the
Q's
again, Steve."
I know the sound. When I looked out, I was looking down.
Did you stand up?
I'd be damned.
Did you stand up?
You know.
You
so now they in the
movie.
Water.
Uh-huh.
Now, obviously, what's Forrest Whitaker character? He a Sigma. He just there to talk. It was just one of them.
That's what Sigma do.
Yeah, they just over there talking.
Blue.
They just over there talking. Wasn't nothing. Now, the little dog dude that didn't like the king.
The one that
jumped on the rhinoceros in the background.
From Get Out.
He a damn capper.
Yeah,
he a new. They always want to be something.
Light skin.
He was dark skin back then. Dark skin was light skin back then.
Dark skin was light skin.
Yeah.
He is not Greek
the
in this movie.
The darker you was, the prettier you was back then. And he a capper.
Yeah.
He on there trying to kill somebody with a damn rhino. Get your punk ass down and fight. He did everything but fight. So then they sitting over there here, and all the Deltas, all the Deltas had the spears. Them was my girls.
They was Delta girls.
And so all this was happening down at the creek, over there by the waterfall.
Right.
So he finally got his strength. First of all, I wouldn't have fought if they pulled the purple stuff in my mouth to take the. Well, taking the panther strength from
you. You wouldn't have done that.
No.
Why?
No, you won't whoop my ass.
Can you get my strength?
Yeah, you come whoop the panther ass. But what you're not finna do is pull this in me and take the panther out of me. Now I got to fight him just as a regular dude. I'm going hell. Hold it in your mouth, and when they ain't looking, spit it in the water. Whoop his ass. Because every time they said, there is a challenge, we are going to take the panther's strength from you.
Yeah.
No, the hell you not.
All right.
Yeah. And one signal, an old traitor ass cap.
We got to get to the prank. Coming up next, thank you, Steve, for that hood review of the Black Panther. Coming up next, it's Run That Prank Back with the nephew.
Broke it down.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about tax season is here. Plus, Miss Ann is going to have today's national news. But up next, it is time to run that prank back. What you got, Neff?
Hold on. Can I tell you something else, too? Because the Alphas was in Black Panther, too. I don't want to need them.
Which one were they?
They was just in the council talking.
All right, before we get to the prank.
They in the council talking. They was headed up by the old woman, the elderly woman. Yeah, she was the first alpha, actually.
Really?
One of them damn alphas going to be mad at
me. Yeah, they are.
That damn Roland Martin. That was Roland Martin. Was Al in there?
In the movie.
Let's get to the prank.
I wanted to say congratulations to Roland Martin, man. My boy Roland Martin, man. I've always tried to speak very highly. This is one of the most intelligent brothers I've ever made. And an owl is considered to be a wise bird. And I just saw Roland Martin's new commercial on Trip Advisory.
Oh, Roland has a...
Really?
That's Roland?
That owl that rolls.
Yeah,
you're right.
That's Roland Martin.
Because he has no neck.
Because he's wise.
When I saw it,
he's
like,
wise.
He is wise.
He's wise like an owl. And when Roland wears them feathers in his pocket...
That's him.
That plumage...
I thought for sure
that owl on Trip Advisory was Roland Martin. And I want to say to my boy, Ro, I know you'll be texting me, but congratulations... on your first national
job,
team.
Well done,
first
man.
Let's get to the prank. What do you have,
let's
nephew?
Do that.
Please.
Let's do that.
Crazy.
Come on, Noop, sitting on the back of that rhino with your traitor ass.
All right, nephew, let's get to the prank. What do you have today?
I told you, Shirley, we saw him Sunday, the church usher.
Oh, yeah.
Here you go.
Hello.
Hello, I'm trying to reach a sister.
This is Sister. How you doing?
Good evening to you, ma'am. I don't mean to be giving you a call this late in the evening, but I am the new youth minister. I haven't. My name is Sean Williams over at Missionary Baptist Church, which my understanding.
Wait. What do you mean, new youth minister? What happened to?
He's no longer with the church anymore, ma'am.
No. Oh my Lord, why? What happened?
Well, I'm not at liberty to speak upon that, but what I was doing is getting around and making sure I met everyone because I haven't met everyone yet, and I wanted to reach out to everyone at the church. But listen, let me get down to some more business because I've spoken with the pastor. We spoke.
Bishop, baby, yes, Bishop.
Yes, ma'am.
I know you're new, but it's Bishop. Uh-huh.
Okay, I spoke with him on yesterday, and we have narrowed some things down of a few changes we're going to be making at the church. And what we want to do is, one of the major subjects that have come up, Sister, people is that we're wanting you, if at all possible, and the deacons were in on this meeting as well, but wanting you to change your attitude when people are coming in and you're seating them. From my understanding, it's gotten to the point where they think you're
Wait a minute.
Thank you.
Y'all had a meeting on me.
Well, it wasn't
First
a meeting.
Of all, I don't understand. Listen here. I've been ushering on that usher board for 47 years. I am the senior usher on that usher board.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I really don't. I've been trying to be nice about it, but I don't understand how y'all going to have a meeting without me. That's first of all. But now you going to call here and tell me that you gonna have, you having a meeting on me about me being nice. I'm always nice.
Well, ma'am, that doesn't seem to be.
I have a problem with that, son. How old is you?
27, ma'am.
And they gonna send some boy to call me. You know, this don't make no type of sense.
Okay.
Child, what is it that you want? What is it?
Well, that's actually my call, ma'am, is that maybe I figured if I would call and speak with you about the matter, that maybe we can get to some type of rectifying this situation to where
we
can.
What we gonna rectify here? I'm gonna rectify you calling me this time of night talking about some meeting. This don't make no time, and I don't appreciate you calling me any time of night. Where's Bishop? I need to speak to Bishop.
Bishop is the one that actually.
I've been at this church for 47 years. I've been saved all my life. This don't make no type of sense. You calling me here with this mess.
Okay.
Now, see, y'all finna make me cuss. I'm trying to be a Christian, but y'all not gonna let me be a Christian, is you? You just gonna agitate me with this mess, well, telling me about something. Be nice.
Well, ma'am, they're having problems when you're seating the people, and that's all that we're trying to get rectified.
The people don't want to sit down. They want to go over here. They want to go over there. They want to have the children running to and fro like a bunch of demons or wild heathens bucking around in the church like they ain't got no sense. And I'm not gonna have it in my section. My section is gonna be straight.
And I understand it. You know what, sister, I think if we did this, if you would do me a favor and hold your phone, and if you would just bow your head right now for me, maybe we can come to get the man up.
What am I bowing my head for? My floors is clean as hospital carpet. It don't make no sound of sense for me to bow. What am I bowing my head for?
If you could close your eyes, sister.
I was closed my eyes. See, you called me and woke me up out of my sleep with this mess. Talking about some meeting. I am very annoyed at this. And I don't appreciate it. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to speak to this.
Now, Father, we ask that you look down upon Sister. We ask that you look down upon her right now. Right now, asking that you put a smile on her face on Sunday morning. Asking that you put some joy in her heart on Sunday morning. Asking that you draw all the pain that she and anguish that she might be going through. Whatever demon there is inside, we ask that you draw that demon out. We ask that you pull that demon away from Sister. Right now, in your name, we ask all of these blessings to come.
Because I don't appreciate this, boy. I don't even know who you is. All of my, who gave you my number?
Pastor gave me the number and asked me to call. I am, like I said, I'm Sean Williams. We haven't met yet. And I am the new.
Bishop he don't act that way. And it's Bishop for the third time. I done told you, boy. Bishop, be respectful for the folks. See, that's what makes me angry.
Let me say this right here, Sister. And maybe this will shed some light on things a little bit clearer.
I'm tired of listening to you, boy. Go ahead.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by Sister who is also a usher at the church at Fred Missionary Baptist.
Sister
Yes,
you
ma'am.
You wait till I see her Sunday. This is a mess. We on the radio now?
Yes.
This don't make no sense. Lord, this is embarrassing.
Okay.
Oh, my God. This is embarrassing. This is Steve Harvey Show.
Yes, ma'am. That's my uncle. This is just a joke, though, ma'am.
And this is little Tommy?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, how you doing, Tommy?
How you doing, Sister?
Oh, Lord. I am embarrassed.
Do you listen to the show?
Every day. I never would expect myself to be on there. Oh, Lord, y'all done made. Oh, my God. Got me on this radio acting foolish.
Did this here to you.
Well, how about if y'all call me back and we get Sister? How about we do that? We'll do a prank on her bills. Her paying a couple of bills. You know, because she's short a little.
Okay.
They got to say all her business.
What is the baddest radio show in the land?
With the Steve Harvey Morning Show and little Tommy and all them other little children, them little girls. What's that girl name? She is so cute. I love her.
Miss Shirley.
Hey, Lord, this is so beautiful. Y'all, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
Okay, you
Lord
know,
Jesus.
There it is. Enough said. We ain't got to talk about it. I prank the usher. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Evil people.
I don't appreciate that. All right. Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with our national news, okay?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, Steve, tax day is April 17th. So I wanted to ask you.
April 17th?
Yeah, April 17th, we get an extra day, extra couple of days this year because of the way it falls.
It's like a sit-up.
Yeah.
Feel like a sit-up.
Yeah, what?
It took all the air out of him, man.
What? You filed quarterly.
Well, you know, the 15th falls on a Sunday this year, so we get,
hey, we get a couple
of extra
what
days.
What did you just say, Tommy?
I asked you, did you file quarterly anyway?
Yeah.
Ain't your taxes due on the 15th?
Yeah. Now,
listen to me, Tommy. April the 15th matter to everybody living. I don't give a damn if you send it a quarter. You can send it in daily. On the 15th, they ask them to find a way to want some more.
You hear that, Mr. Snipes?
Okay, so Steve, I brought that up because, you know, it's close. And I just wanted to know if you have any tax tips. That was a good one, I think. No. Pay your taxes. Give Caesar its due.
Don't play with these people.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Play with these people. Mm-hmm. And everything computerized now. Don't even play with these people. Mm-hmm. I stay so legal and clean now. Lord have mercy. Yeah. If I owe you, I'm going to pay you.
Yeah.
Might be a little late, but Lord Jesus, before we get into calling me, you going to have it.
Yeah. And if you get that letter, open it and call. Don't let that letter sit there.
Dog, don't be talking about the hell with y'all.
The hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Do not let the letter come with red writing.
With
red
writing?
Once it start coming with red writing on it.
It's serious.
Yeah. With red writing.
Red writing, that means open this, you the information change in there.
It's different information.
Act like you don't see this color.
Yeah.
So, Steve, do you think it's best if people file their own taxes or if they should get a tax preparer or an accountant?
Well, I mean, if you got a simple job, if you're single and simple, you don't need to pay nobody.
Sound at the kitchen table.
You can just do it yourself. Mm-hmm. They got apps and stuff that walk you right through the thing. It's real simple. If you ain't got no dependents, you just filing taxes you've been paying, just write your stuff down. You ain't got no write-offs. They ain't finna play with you.
No, they don't.
If you got a spouse and you got kids, I highly recommend you let somebody look at your taxes.
Yeah. Right.
Because you could be missing child care, daycare credits. You could be missing new laws. See, this new
tuition law
that Trump them passed, is some stuff in there for you. So I would recommend getting somebody to look at it because you could miss, because there is some stuff in there for you in this new one.
Right, and you don't want to go to a place that does taxes and lawnmower repair.
Yeah.
Stay out of there.
If they do taxes and anything else.
Yeah.
Taxes and bacon.
Yeah.
You don't want to go in.
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to go in there.
Right.
If they do taxes
and tree trimming,
don't go in there.
Yeah.
Get your taxes done while you wait
if
for your car
say,
to get wired.
Hold up, let me finish these shoes so I can work on your taxes.
Right.
Don't go in there.
Don't go in there.
What about barbershops, beauty shops, and taxes?
No.
They ass in trouble too.
They say the dude in the fourth chair is gonna work on your taxes.
Now, here go another one. Don't let no relative.
Please do yours.
That's a big one.
Get you to jail.
Because he's the smartest one in the family.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Because
right
he wears glasses.
And the phrase, I learned this in jail, so I can do your taxes.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah, you ain't Andy Dufresne.
No. Right.
And Miss Ann is here with today's headlines, including the sad news. This is sad. Anti-apartheid activist Winnie Mandela has died. She died yesterday. She was 81.
81.
81, Steve. Yeah, she's
81. Don't you start getting scared a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, she's here, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much, everybody. This is Antrip with the news. South Africans and blacks throughout the diaspora are mourning the death of Winnie Mandela. Winnie Madikizela Mandela died after a long illness yesterday at a Johannesburg hospital at age 81. Like last year, there was word that she was not feeling well, that she was ill. And at that time, some people said she might perish last year, but she did last this year until age 81. The African National Congress says in a statement that Mrs. Mandela fought valiantly against apartheid and sacrificed her life for the freedom of the country. She talked about her fight against white minority rule on CNN back in May of 2011.
I was one of those who were with the people fighting physically against the apartheid regime. We won.
Winnie Mandela, a nurse by profession, was Nelson Mandela's second wife, but became the greatest advocate for the freedom of her husband and for other anti-apartheid activists. She traveled the world over, educating people about the daily atrocities committed by the South African government. In 1991, though, she was convicted of involvement in the kidnapping of a teenager who was later found dead, who some people labeled an informant. However, most South African people forgave Winnie and still consider her the mother of the nation. Israel says it's getting rid of a controversial plan to deport some 30,000 African migrants, mostly from Eritrea and Sudan. That's because the United Nations has agreed to help out by resettling many of the Africans in Canada, Germany, Italy, and elsewhere over a five-year period. The Israeli government had planned to send North Africans into either Rwanda or Uganda. President Trump is tweeting again. Trump says both the FBI and the Justice Department are, quote, an embarrassment to our country, unquote. He criticized CNN and NBC while praising Sinclair Broadcasting. That's a pro-Trump network of over 190 local TV stations, which requires its anchors to deliver an identical on-camera message calling mainstream press coverage unfair. Sylvester Stallone, his brother Frank Stallone, apologizing for the profane tweet he sent out recently attacking one of the survivors of the Florida high school shooting, 17-year-old David Hogg. Frank Stallone used derogatory terms against the teenager, now claims he's ashamed. Fox News personality Laura Ingraham also mocked the same person, young Mr. Hogg, and then several advertisers pulled their commercials from her show, so she says, oh, I'm sorry. You must remember, David Hogg was the only student who said quite eloquently that he felt that a big reason that he and his classmates were receiving so much attention was because of their white skin privilege, and that they should use that privilege to press for action for the people of color who often face possibility of gun violence, but who nobody cares about. That's what David Hogg said. And today is a Find a Rainbow Day. And we'll be back with more entertainment in today's trending topics 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
More tensions over the weekend in Sacramento, guys. Stephon Clark was shot 6 times in the back. The doctor who performed a second autopsy on the body of Stephon Clark confirmed that Clark was shot 8 times. Dr. Bennett Omalu said 6 of those shots were in the back. Stephon Clark was unnamed when he was shot by, he was unarmed, I should say, when he was shot by police earlier this month. It was on March 18th, to be exact, while in his grandmother's backyard. If the name Dr. Bennett Omalu sounds familiar to you, it should, because he is best known for his work diagnosing brain damage in football players. Remember, Will Smith played him in the movie Concussion, if you saw movie.
Oh, yeah.
Also, retired Sacramento basketball player Matt Barnes is back in the news because he launched a scholarship fund to get Stephon Clark's two young kids through college. So that's great news there. I mean, at least their college education, you know, is paid for. They won't have to worry about that. They lost their father, of course. But
I don't even understand how there isn't any more uproar.
I know.
From other people other than black people. This has to become appalling to a serious number of other people in order for this to stop. They are not going to stop killing us because we don't want them to.
Right.
That's not how this will end. This will end when other people get as outraged as black people are. This is the only way this will end. The only way this will end is if there are consequences to police officers who murder black people for no reason. See, right now there are no consequences. 99% of these police officers get to go home after murdering 75 black people. that you hear about in the news.
And while they're investigating, they're on paid
and
leave.
They get paid.
The dude that choked the man out on the corner for selling cigarettes.
Eric Garner and Alton Sterling.
He free.
Wow.
He's got promoted.
He off.
Yeah.
Skip it. Go down the list.
Yeah. All of them. All of them. They're off. Until there are consequences. See, we've got to stop with this in the line of duty. Because what they're making that out is as long as you at work.
Mm-hmm. In uniform.
If you at work, you can kill a black person.
Yeah, and if you said you felt your life was threatened.
If you kill a white person, it won't be that way. Do you think the officer is going to get away with it that killed that innocent white lady that walked up to the car? I bet you he don't. And he shouldn't.
Yeah. All right. Coming up at 34 after, we're going to switch gears and inject some comedy, more comedy into the show with Comedy Roulette. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, it is time, Steve, for Comedy Roulette. You ready? Jay, explain it again.
Let me break this down. We have new listeners who don't have any idea what we're doing. Comedy Roulette, very simple. Give us five subjects, anything you want. Put them on the wheel.
Yeah.
Spun the wheel. Mm-hmm. Where it stopped. Yeah, spun. Spun it around. As in to be spun around? Yeah.
As in spin.
That's totally different right there. Spun it around. Where it stopped, we'll do the damn thing.
Here we go. All right, number one. Things you say to yourself when you're mad at someone.
I like that one. Yeah.
Number two. You know it's time to go to the store when... Number three, stuff you don't like to watch, but you watch it anyway to keep them happy. You know, we all know about that.
We know about that, right?
Oh, should have just rolled her.
Or him, whatever.
She don't watch nothing to watch.
Number four, you know she's not coming back when... okay. Number five, people who never chip in.
Ooh, all right. Ooh, come on.
Let's go, Kat. Let's spin
the
wheel.
All of these is good.
Come on. Whoa. It came on number one, things you say to yourself when you're mad at someone.
Things you say to yourself.
When you're mad at someone.
Okay, here's some things you say to yourself when you're mad at somebody. I'm going to let it go this time. Mm-hmm. But the next damn time, it's going to be hell up in there. It's going to be hell.
This is one I always say to myself
what?
When I'm mad at other people. I'm trying not to go to jail. No, I'm doing my best.
You say
I'm
that?
Doing my best right now.
I'm trying
not to go to jail.
You're really mad.
No, you mad. Court dates, everything. I'm trying not to.
What you
Come
got?
On, nephew.
You know what? Uh-huh. That's all right. Drink that water that I put up in that ice cream. Drink that. That's what I want. Drink that. Got something in there for you.
All right. Things you say to yourself when you're mad at someone, Steve.
Better go head on. Just say it to yourself. You better go head on now. This is black.
That's black.
That's all that is.
You better go head on now.
Things you say to yourself when you're mad at somebody. Lord, please work with me, Jesus. Work with me.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Please, Father. Yeah. Father, take me down so I don't kill us.
That's what I always say when I'm always mad. Somebody, it's just something you said before to somebody. Oh, that's why your ass broke now.
That's
why your ass broke right now.
That hurt, Junior. That hurt.
That hurts. But you say it to yourself.
Uh-huh. Come
you
on.
Know what? You know what? That's why I got another woman crawling. This right here. See, I ain't got to go through this.
Come on, Steve.
This is tough. Did you say to yourself when you're mad or something? With your stupid ass.
It sounds just like that.
Oh, I've heard you say that. It was to yourself, but it was loud enough.
I've heard you like that.
Yeah.
Right in front of you. With your stupid ass.
God. I thought my mama was talking to me.
Things you say to people when you're mad at them to yourself. Why don't you just go ahead and die? Do everybody a favor.
Just go and get up out of here.
Do everybody a favor.
All right, come on, take us home, Steve.
Take it out,
come on.
Steve,
No. We'll give you do one. Right.
Okay, I got you. I got one for you. I'll tell you. This is how it says a lot to my family. I'm calling Crime Stoppers. They ain't going to get a tip today.
You right, I got one. Y'all ready last one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Show glad that ain't my baby.
Oh, my God. All right, Nephew Tommy has a prank phone call coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. But up next, Tommy is here, the nephew, with his prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
A wedding with Butchie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you going to bring up the Ebony Harder? You thought the first time I was
Steve Harvey. A wedding with Butchie.
You thought I ain't mean it?
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to reach Alan.
This is he.
Hey, Alan, how you doing? This is Butchie, man.
Butchie?
Yeah. You was at the cookout the other day with the family. I'm Christian's cousin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You was at the cookout the other day. I wanted to reach out to you. I know the wedding is in the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. It's
okay.
Like two and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, you ready for that?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, man, I got a little bit of a problem that, you know, that we kind of wanted to call you about, you know, because the family got together and had a little meeting, like, and what the deal is this here. I know you excited and want to marry my cousin, and she kind of excited, too, about the whole thing. But, you know, like, the family members, we got together and decided that for right now, we finna call the wedding off for right now.
What you talking about, calling the wedding off?
Well, see, you know, everybody think you cool and all, and, you know, we real, real passionate, man, about, you know, people marrying into our family or whatever. Like, you know, the gathering the other day, you know that was a potluck thing. Everybody bring something, right?
Hold on. Kristen ain't never told me no like that.
About what?
About something about not getting no married.
Okay, well, see, right here, like I say, this is what the family done decided on.
I don't give a what the family decided on.
Okay, see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. See, we're a real close-knit family, and it's like this here. See, first of all, let me get you to understand this here. You talking to Butchie right now, all right? See, here's the deal. You know, we done decided that the wedding ain't finna happen in 2 weeks. Until, like, when we had the potluck barbecue, everybody bring something. Why you ain't bring nothing?
What you talking about? I'm paying for the wedding.
Oh, that's what you finna throw up in our face, that you paying for the wedding?
Hell yeah. What was I supposed to bring?
Hey, man, everybody bring something when we have a potluck, you know. Everybody bring something and contribute to the function or the event that's going on, you know. And for you to walk up in there and not have nothing, that let us know what kind of person you're going to be in the family. We can't have that.
Oh, who is this again?
This Butchie right here.
I don't know no Butchie. Look, I came to the family gathering picnic. I came there, showed up, loving on all y'all, telling y'all how great this was going to be. And now you telling me I can't marry Kristen? Is that what telling me?
Hey, man, the family done already voted, and when the family vote, dog, that's it.
I ain't marrying the family.
You marrying my cousin Christian. That's what you trying to do, and you ain't finna marry her.
Look, don't be calling up to my job talking no like this. I'm already on hot from today with some bull my supervisor done pulled. Do not come calling me with no bull.
Hey, man, let me tell you this here. Until we can decide that you good for Christian, until we can decide that, you know, you can handle being married to her and you come correct as a family member, and if you're going to come to potlucks, then you bring a pot. You ain't bring nothing.
I ain't got to bring nothing. I'm paying for this wedding. I don't give a what y'all say. All that money I done dropped for this? I bought 2 bottles of wine to it.
You bought, I ain't seen no wine.
I don't care if you got that wine or not. I saw her mama drinking it.
Okay, well, I ain't getting no wine. I don't remember nobody bringing no wine. See, Butchie normally see everything that go on.
I got class. I don't know what you talking about. Butchie, whatever. I brought some wine. My mama was drinking it, and I ain't playing that. This wedding going down. I done spent over $23,000 on this.
Hey, man, I done already told you that the family done voted on that the wedding name.
I don't give a f- what the family voted on. I done paid for this. I ain't heard nothing from Kristen about this.
Kristen might not know what we done voted on. We make decisions sometimes for everybody. You understand?
That don't include me.
We'll let Kristen know that we finna stop the wedding. I'm just calling to let you know before I even tell her what's up.
You trying to tell me Kristen don't even know?
Nah, we ain't told her that we don't agree with you yet and that we gonna stop the wedding. We ain't told her that.
Man, get the out of here. I done paid all this money for this, man. Y'all ain't stopping.
Hey, man, I done already told you what we doing, all right? I'm not finna continue to go back and forth with you.
You better get off my phone raising your voice at me. I don't know who the hell you talking.
I tell you what, let me say this to you. I don't care if I got to bust up in that church and stop this wedding, because you done went against what we done said, whatever I got to do.
I don't know who you with. I wish your would try to stop this wedding. Look, we can handle this right now. I can get off of work. I'm already going through some bull. And I'm already on fire. I will come there and bust your right now.
I don't know. You know what? See, when she was going with Nigel, see, Nigel ain't act like this.
Hey, oh, what the? I don't know. You didn't bring that up. Me and that already had. Don't even bring that name up in me.
Hey man, I'm just keeping it real with you. Nigel ain't act like this here.
That we done have words, and if that want to come and bust up in there too, he get dealt with just like that too.
Hey man, all I'm just trying to say is the whole family, 100%.
All that, I don't want to hear nothing about this no more. Tell me where to be, and we can deal with this right now.
I'm just letting you know the family done voted. The family done already agreed on it. Now what we'll do, we'll push the wedding back and then give us time to reevaluate you.
Man, reevaluate me? I don't need no evaluation from y'all. Me and Krista get married. I done put some money on this.
All I know is the wedding ain't happening.
That the wedding is happening. Not after I done paid for all this. You want some bull? You, the family, we gonna get married in 2.5 weeks. And y'all, if y'all don't come, and if y'all come up in that, y'all gonna get dealt with straight up.
I'm trying to tell you, man. Right now, the family don't want you in the family right now.
I don't give a about y'all. I ain't in love with y'all. I'm marrying Kristen, and I can give a if I see y'all ever again.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you this here. The family voted on one more thing. You need to go on and know that while we at it.
This ain't no damn democracy. We getting married. That is between her and I. And if y'all don't want to be there, jump off in a ditch.
It's one more thing we done voted on.
What the else you done voted on?
We voted on this. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Kristen's entire family got me to prank phone call you.
Y'all some y'all some I'm still up when it come to the wedding. You Tommy. I don't put all that money out like that. I was like, no, sir.
I got one more thing I got to ask you, dog. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show, baby. Tommy, I'm being real with you, man. Somebody gonna f*** you up.
That got pretty tense right there, huh?
Whoa.
That's pretty tense right there, there, baby. This laughter is actually loosening up my chest congestion. That's actually what's happening.
That's what's
going
on.
They say laughter is the best medicine, huh?
Laughter is the best medicine.
Man, it is.
Laughter's good. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, baby. April 5th, 6th, 7th, Lexington, Kentucky.
There
comedy on Broadway. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Here I come. Nephew on the way. Been about 2.5 years since I've been there. Get your tickets. They on sale right now.
So you got a whole new show for them?
Yes, sir.
Let them have it,
yes,
boy.
Yes, sir.
How many shows you doing?
I'm doing 5 right now.
5.
One Friday.
Come on, let's sell them out.
Yes. 1 Thursday, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. 5 of them.
Okay.
Yeah. That minimum for me be 7.
I know you. You 8.
At least. Ain't no way in hell I came to 7. I got to do 3, 3, and 1, but they're going to have to add one. They're going to have to add some. That boy black didn't know how to sell out a room, boy. Man, there wasn't no social media or nothing back then. That boy could sell out a room, boy.
And you were hungry back then, too, weren't you?
Hey, do we have enough time for me to throw this out there?
No, we don't. We have to go. We can do it when we come back. Yeah, we can do it when we come back. Because it's 10-7.
You got to throw it out later.
Yeah, we'll do it at 8 o'clock.
Just your name on the damn wall.
That's all it is.
Coming up at the top of the hour, it's the Strawberry Letter.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Before we get to the Strawberry Letter, Steve, now what did you want to throw out before we went
Here's a question,
to break?
And I want everybody to go to my Instagram page and that, because I might post it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Should I come back for at least one special? Should I?
When you say come back, you mean do stand
as
up
a
again?
Stand yeah. Up. Should I come back to stand up and do one more special?
Oh, okay.
I think should I come back?
I think you want to.
Yeah, that's what it is, Junior.
Because you keep bringing it up. You keep coming back to it.
I still have that itch.
I think you should.
He's still hungry.
Yeah, uh-huh. I think you should.
And there's so much going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to come back?
Yeah, this world.
And get some of this. Yeah.
But I'm going to have to talk to y'all off the air because the idea I got is a little bit different than that.
Oh.
Oh, really?
So, okay, so when you posted, you want people to vote yes, vote no?
I'm going to post it on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Should I come back?
Okay.
Should the king return? Or shall I say, should one of the kings return?
Mm-hmm.
Should I, oh, Lord, I got something to say, though.
I think you should take your own advice at this point. Don't leave this earth doing the things you're supposed to do and not know it. If you know you're supposed to do this show, do it.
Boy, what?
That's good advice, Junior. I like that. That's very good advice, Junior.
You came from Junior.
I was too, but, but if I think about it, the thing you love to do, the one thing you do the best, don't want to do it. Don't leave nothing on the table.
Right, because you don't ever want it to be a question. Man, I should have done that. I should have done that.
You don't want to be 104 and you didn't do it.
Yeah.
I say he come back and do a show at 104. Man, that before I get out of here,
it's almost like you have to, Steve, because it's itching. I mean, you know, you have that itch. You have that hunger.
It hasn't itched me before.
Mm-hmm. Now it's itching.
Now, I don't, you know what I mean, but like, I don't want to do like so many people do. I went out on top. I didn't want to stay too long. I closed my career filling up arenas.
Mm-hmm.
Not theaters, arenas.
Yeah.
I closed selling out Phillips, selling out MGM Garden. I closed selling out the Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
I closed selling out.
Yeah. Radio City Music.
Radio City. That's how I closed.
How heavy is the itch? Is it every day?
I've been thinking about it, man.
Well, okay, here's a question. Do you do like, let's say, an Eddie Murphy used to do or Kevin Hart does now, and you do smaller arenas and work out your stuff and then go to the big arena?
Oh, I got to go to work, but I'm just go down to the J spot.
Oh, of course. All right, we got to get to the letter right now, but we're gonna revisit
go to
this.
Spot. I know where to work it out. Yeah. I ain't got going to well.
Okay.
I'm going to my dude.
Steve Harvey and Taco Tuesday.
I love it.
Taco Tuesday. We're going to have a wishbone Wednesday.
You gonna be in there some night.
Hey, we'll talk about it more during the show.
Friday.
Let's get to the
sauerkraut Saturday.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is. Strawberry letter.
Sauerkraut Saturday. Here we go. Subject: what should I do here? Good morning, everyone there in the studio. I got this problem that I always find the perfect woman. Well, sort of perfect to be with me. I'm a tall, dark, and very handsome young man trying to make it in life. But right now, I don't feel that way because I thought part of being a man is to treat your woman like you would care for your mother. I'm nice to her, but she says she doesn't like me being nice to her all the time. At times, she wants me to hit her. Because every time we argue, I walk away and just ask, why? Darn it, why?
Say damn it.
Say damn it.
Say damn it.
Okay, well, you can say that. I would never even think of putting a hand on a woman. What should I do? Should I stay? I really do love her. Or should I go? Please help. Sign.
Damn.
Dang, ladies.
Damn.
I'm a good man.
Okay, dear good man, this is a little letter, big issues. You say you're tall, you're dark, you're very handsome and trying to make it in life with a sort of perfect woman for you. Let me just tell you that a woman who's perfect for you will have your back. She'll have similar goals and interests. She'll have, you know, similar aspirations that you have. She'll be with you. She'll be loving you. She'll be supporting you as you make your way, as you say, in life. A woman who thinks you're too nice and wants you to hit her is crazy. Okay, this woman, she's drama filled. You want to stay away from that. This woman is not a good match for you. Please know that no real woman wants her man to hit her. You know, the best thing to me about this whole letter is that you've had the good sense to walk away when the arguments, you know, get heated and not put your hands on her. As far as a man treating his woman like his mom, I say not exactly. You know, of course you want to respect your woman and all of that, but the way you love your woman is going to be different from the way you love your mom. But yes, by all means, treat her well. You know, be a good man to her. You say you really do love her. Should you stay or should you go? I don't think you should stay. I just really don't. You guys are not right for each other. You say you're a good man. You need a good woman by your side, not one that's drama-filled and wants you to hit her, you know, and all that stuff. She's trouble. She's just trouble and means you no good. Steve?
Well, that's a hard one here because it don't make no sense.
It is a hard one.
Do you need to read it again and read it like they got it wrote?
Well, let me see. Good morning, everyone here in the studio. I got this problem that I always find a perfect woman, well, sort of perfect to be with me. I'm a tall, dark, and very handsome young man trying to make it in life. But right now, I don't feel that way because I thought part of being a man is to treat your woman like you would care for your mother. I'm nice to her, but she said she don't like me being nice to her all the time. She want me to hit her. Because every time we argue, like I walk away. I just, why, Lord, damn it, why? I could never even think of putting my hand on a woman. What should I do? Should I stay? I really do love her. Or should I go? Please help sign. Damn, ladies, I'm a good man. This letter is full of bull crap right here. Let me read through this for y'all right here. I'm going to tell y'all something about men. This ain't how men write. So let's just understand, there's a lot of shakiness in here. First of all, he ain't all he say he is. Anytime you see a man that describes himself, I'm a tall, dark, and very handsome young man, how you know? Many times you done spin the mirror looking, telling yourself, ooh, I'm a very tall, dark, very handsome young man.
You say, how you know?
But right now, I don't feel that way. Now you don't feel pretty. When I come back, I'm going to break this
break it down.
Uh-oh. All right, we'll have part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Today's technology makes a lot of things easier, you know, simply because everything is connected. And they all connected to your Wi-Fi. But it may only take one weak link in all those connections for criminals to get in. That's why new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now adds the power of Norton Security. Norton Security helps protect up to 5 of your devices from online threats like ransomware. If there's a problem, LifeLock's agents will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton gives you more protection for today's connected world. Join now and you'll get an additional 10% off your first year. Just head to LifeLock.com and enter promo code Harvey.
All right, guys. Steve, let's get to part two of your response to today's strawberry letter.
I've been reading the letter a couple of times while we was on break. I see it now. You know, I'm a tall, dark, and very handsome young man trying to make it in life. But right now, I don't feel that way. Because I thought
like that.
Part of being a man is to treat your woman like you would care for your mother. Well, that's an exact true statement, Shirley, I have to tell you. Because what he said was correct. I thought part of being a man is to treat your woman like you would care for your mother. That's the treatment of his woman. It's
right.
Similar to the treatment of his mother, not the love. So in that, he's absolutely correct. Then, I'm nice to her, but she says she doesn't like me being nice to her all the time. At times, she wants me to hit her because every time we argue, I walk away and just ask. Then it's in capital letters. Why? Damn it, why?
He's dramatic.
It sounds like he's a whiny type little dude.
How old you think this boy is?
He got to be young, man.
20s.
If he ain't, this letter is in far worse condition than it should
not
be.
The letter, him.
Right. But if he's in his 30s, this is really, we're getting close to catastrophe here.
Yeah, I'd say 20s.
I would never even think of putting my hand on a woman. What should I do? Should I stay? I really do love her. Or should I go? Please sign. Damn, ladies. I'm a good man. Well, brother, let's not be so quick. Maybe some other areas in manhood you lacking. Like, number one, I think you're full of yourself. You such a perfect man, and you love her so much. What is y'all arguing about all the time? And then why you always do the perfect thing? You walk away and you ask yourself, why? Damn it, why? That's because you a drama major. I think your ass is heavily involved in Shakespeare or some other type of acting course.
Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, I really do. I think he's a drama guy. Well, a few things you want him to know. You don't hit women. You want him to know that. You want him to know that you're tall, dark, and very handsome. And you want him to know that, damn, you a good man. Well, are you really tall? Or are you 5'7"?
And a half.
Do you have little hands?
Uh-oh.
Damn, ladies, I'm a good man. One thing I know about being a real good man, somebody's daughter gonna want you. Mm-hmm. Gonna want you. Soon as somebody through with you, somebody gonna want you back. But you can't seem to hold it together. So let's really start evaluating a couple of things here. First of all, I don't think you're tall. Mm-hmm. I think you're 5'7". I don't think you're dark at all. I think you're high yellow.
You light-skinned, doggy?
I think you're 5'7", high yellow. And very, very handsome. I think you're a little ugly-ass little boy. I think you're a little troll doll-looking little son. I think you're rocking around and scaring people off. You know, I don't know what done happened at the house. You know, did she borrow your brush? Is that what y'all arguing about?
What?
Did you tell her to stop and point it at her with one of them little bitty hands? Was you standing on the steps talking to her?
Stop it right now.
Trying to appear tall.
Stop it right now.
I know my answer appears ridiculous, but ridiculous letters require ridiculous responses. So let's just go on. So why? I think it's time for a poem.
Come on.
You know, let's go.
Here
let's
I
go.
Am. So dark and lovely and tall am I. Trying to figure out the single question why. I ask myself in all my beauty, does anybody think I'm tall? Anybody but me. Some people say I'm tall, I'm only 5'7". But when I'm with my woman, I swear she feels like she's in heaven.
Uh-oh.
But I wear her, I treat her just like my mother. But she says, hold on, little boy. I want to feel like another. Maybe I want to feel like I'm your lover. Have me like your mother would be. I want to be like your girl would be. Spank me, Big Daddy. Spank me. I'll call you Big Daddy even though you small. I'll call you Big Daddy even though you ain't tall.
Uh-oh.
You're only 5'7". I'm the doorstep to heaven. But I look at you. Are you my man? I can't tell, because you got small hands.
Why?
That was clever.
All right, Steve, we got to get out of here. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. And don't forget, please, to join me this Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the Strawberry Letter Live After Show on Facebook. All right, please join me there. And for those of you who join me, I appreciate it. Tell your friends. Switching gears now, the dash for D.C. is over.
What am I talking about? Well, that was fast. I said the Dash for D.C. is over. A month after launching her campaign, I'm talking about Stacey Dash now. Stacey has ended her run for Congress. That was
already?
Quick. Yeah, that was
you.
Quick.
That's right. Why.
Okay, this is what she said.
This
is what she posted on Twitter, okay?
She was clueless.
She said, she said, at this point, I believe that the overall bitterness surrounding our political process, participating in the rigors of campaigning and holding elected office would be detrimental to the health and well-being of my
Riggers.
Family.
What's she called?
The haters and the riggers.
She said riggers. Riggers with an right, R. The outspoken Republican Stacey Dash was running for a seat from the Compton/Watts area of L.A., said she'd continue to speak out about the problems facing her district. So there you go. She's ended her campaign.
She's not liked in Watts. She wasn't going to win that.
Yeah,
no.
Ending her campaign.
She wasn't going to win.
Man, that was going to be so ugly.
And thousands were at the White House Easter egg roll. We'll tell you about that, too, president had to say to the children when we come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Yesterday, nearly 30,000 people attended the White House Easter egg roll. Now, do you remember last year, Sean Spicer, who was press secretary then, he was dressed as the Easter bunny. Remember that?
Right.
Well, this year, the White House planned a lot of activities for the children, including First Lady Melania Trump added lawn bowling, which is fun, they say. There were cookie and egg decoration activities, and kids made greeting cards for the troops. Sarah Sanders, the press secretary, read to the kids. And the president...
Sarah Sanders read to
Yeah, she read to the kids.
Oh, man, shoot me.
Man,
she
I'm
did.
Man.
And the president had something to say to the kids. Check it out. Take a listen.
Our military will soon be at a level that it's never been before. It's you see what's happening, and you see what's happening with funding. The funding of our military was so important, and so many military people are with us today. So just think of $700 billion, because that's all going into our military this year.
Wait a minute.
Keys?
Wait a minute. Did we...
At the Easter hunt?
Did we play the right soundbite?
That's it.
Because he was the one.
That's what he said.
Just think of our funding. The kids was going, did he say, find
get them? Get them damn eggs out here, man.
No. He said, just think of our funding. The kids was going, did he say it's time to find them? No, he said funding. We're trying to find them.
What was that?
Man. Shut up and let
Between
us look for these
you
eggs.
And your wife with that accent, what is going on? But the dude that I love the most is little
Baron.
Oh, yes. Baron just was trying to hide behind the pole. Baron don't give a damn about being the first boy.
Baron was trying to get back behind that
pole. Baron has no interest in being first boy.
He don't
give a damn. First lady, whatever.
Y'all can have that.
I don't give a damn about being the first boy.
He was trying to hide behind that pole.
Because it ain't been a boy in the White House in a long time.
Yeah, right. A long time.
Because
yeah.
The Obamas had two girls. George Bush had two girls.
President Clinton had Chelsea.
Clinton had a girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, when Bush daughters got drunk, we're just doing what college kids do. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't, he don't even care about being the first boy. That's my dude right there.
Yeah.
He looked so damn unconcerned.
He was. Hiding behind the pole.
Man, whatever.
They had to keep pulling them out. Do I really have to go, Dad?
Yeah.
They pulled him out behind that pole. He went right on back over there.
That was a crazy speech to give to some kids, though.
To kids who want to hunt Easter eggs.
Hey, man, where's Donald Trump?
Where's the fun in it, you know?
He's a billionaire. He don't have fun. He make money.
Yeah, money moves.
Man. We can quit tripping.
Yeah.
This dude finna be, he finna do more.
This is what he does.
Yeah.
This is what he does.
Well, and even with all of that, the nephew is still here. He still took the time to write us an Easter poem.
Come
nephew,
on, boy. Yeah,
bring it. Bring it, man. Poetry. Bring it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Here it is. Y'all just got to feel me on this one now. Feel me, okay?
Okay.
I'm feeling.
I didn't see my side piece this Easter, the candy of my eye. So I got no chocolate bunny, and this brown egg just wants to die. No, I didn't see my side peeps this Easter. Had to spend it with my folks.
No, I didn't see my side piece this Easter. And I'm sad. And that's no yoke.
All right. Yeah. That's what? Deep, man.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You came
yeah.
with it, man.
That's sad yeah. and that's no yoke. Boy, you out there working, eh? You put that together.
Side peeps. Easter bunny.
Side peeps. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay, can I do a rebuttal to
yes.
that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Your side piece was calling you, but you just wouldn't take her call. I think that you thought the better of it because you were sitting there in front of all. If you had picked up your phone and said, "Hello, girl, how are you?" Uh-huh. You and I both know that that would have been the end of you.
Man.
Easter ain't the same.
Yes.
Never will be for you. Uh-huh. Your stupid ass had to answer that phone. Your dumb ass would have been through. So your side piece is where she should be. Somewhere on the side. And remember the upcoming holiday. Her ass is still going to have to hide.
Finger snap.
Side pieces baby. Every now and then. Yeah, let them know finger that they're snap. In second place. That's where you need to stay.
Wow.
I just wanted to let this fool know.
If he'd answered that phone.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
No, that was great, Tom.
Beautiful. That was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Man.
No, you did that.
He did the damn thing.
Side piece Easter, baby.
This is the day you can go see side piece, though. What?
Now, this is the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right out. Yeah.
You can roll up.
Do that.
Take that Easter month, Easter basket out.
Have a little
coming in with that late bunny.
That late bunny. Couple slices of ham you brought from the house.
Yeah. Some foil.
Everything wrapped up in foil. Come on, girl. I got something for you.
Hey, girl, I got something for you.
Cranberry sauce still cold.
That's banana pudding. Yeah. Because I'm thinking about you.
Careful.
The bananas done turned brown a little bit, but you don't worry about saying? That. They still
yeah, man. Wow.
This is the day you roll up, side pieces. This is your day.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to hear this one more time. What did the president say to the kids? I just can't believe it.
Our military will soon be at a level that it's never been before. It's you see what's happening, and you see what's happening with funding. The funding of our military was so important. And so many military people are with us today. So just think of $700 billion because that's all going into our military this year.
How did we end up?
I just cannot believe.
Man,
what did we do as a people that would make us end up with a president?
I don't know. But the bunny
voted
was confused.
And didn't
and
vote.
Didn't vote.
Voted
absolutely.
And didn't vote.
You're right. Absolutely
voted and didn't
right.
Vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Let that be a lesson to those of you who voted and didn't vote.
Yeah.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about the NCAA championship, guys. You saw the game, Steve, right?
Villanova! them boys was just too strong.
Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, last night, Steve, it was the NCAA championship.
Villanova!
championship game in San Antonio.
it was too much. The way they spread their team. Mm-hmm. You know, they had athletes on Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was hoping Michigan could give them a little bit more because they had some athletes over there. But Villanova, man, they so well coached.
Could that team be the pro team, Steve?
Hell no.
Jay.
Hell no.
Not at all.
They had stomped.
Not anything.
No pro team.
Not even.
No. Get their ass walked. They couldn't be the pro team if they played one out of 10 series, they're not going to beat them pros.
And why do you say that? Because they're
because
stronger
and
bigger?
Because pros is at a whole nother level. Most of the college kids will never see the pros. Understand that. All these dudes as college stars, they're you're going to be
I'm
a star.
I'm talking about the worst pro team in the league, Steve.
I'm talking about the worst pro team in the league. Gonzaga don't send nobody to the pros.
But they're a good team, though.
Yeah, Purdue don't send nobody to the pro.
What about the Cleveland Browns? Could they beat the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, probably.
Michigan could beat the Cleveland
there you
Browns.
Go, Jay. And we
Hell
also.
We said Hell in football.
They beat the Browns.
See? Dude, that's why I said that.
No, they.
They probably could beat the Browns.
They could beat the Browns, Steve.
Well, right now, we ain't beat nobody, so right now.
Y'all haven't won. We're switching from football. The Browns haven't won in two seasons. They have not won a game.
One game.
Wow.
In 2 years.
Okay, back to the NCAA. We don't want to depress you, Steve.
I know. Congratulations, Villanova Wildcats. And let's just drop it at that.
We also have to congratulate Notre Dame. They beat Mississippi State 61-58 Sunday night.
Man, that broke my heart.
Oh, that was great.
That broke my heart, man. I was pulling for them girls out of the SIP so bad, man.
Yeah.
That's 2 years in a row they done lost that thing. But the tall girl, Trimmons, she fouled out.
Oh, yeah, she fouled out the game.
Man, I wish I could go down there and work with her because she just has to learn how to take one bounce, collect herself, then turn.
Mm-hmm.
But they got her where they throw it to as soon as she get it, they got her turning. Y'all got to teach her how to dribble and collect herself, then turn.
Oh.
She would be unstoppable if she had a drop step.
Oh,
if I could just work with that girl,
you could help her.
And show
term.
Her a drop step.
Okay. Speaking of help, could you help Kevin Durant? Because he needs help, too.
What is going on?
What is going on with him, Steve?
Now, man, he'll be all right when it's clutch time. He know how to keep his temper. I don't know what's – all them dudes, man, they just be whining. What's wrong?
If I had $40 million, I wouldn't complain about nothing on the court.
Draymond get a lot of technicals. They just want to holler at – man, y'all got the best team on earth.
Man.
Let's play the damn game. Let's go win the damn games.
Well, Steve, you
get
have
a brush,
temper.
Comb your hair, play the game. I'm with you.
What'd you say, Cheryl?
You have a temper. You get mad.
We ain't playing basketball, though.
Can't nobody fire me.
Can't nobody send you to the shower.
You know, your nerves are bad.
See, if I get a technical, we just edit it out. And then I apologize on Twitter.
That's how it works for you.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even get through the show if we had a referee here.
Oh, no. You know Steve's nerves are
Steve
bad.
Cussing on Steve.
Cussing on Steve.
Flagrant foul. Flagrant.
You. Boop. All y'all.
Only
man.
That.
Boop. You.
Oh, man, no. Nah.
We could not kick you out
no,
of the game.
We could not have him getting fouled. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
At all. Your temper is bad. So what would you tell Kevin Durant, though?
Yeah, what would you say?
I mean, you know, if he gets another technical, he gets suspended for a game. And with the playoffs coming, you can't afford that because they got too many injuries. Draymond is injured. Steph Curry's injured.
Mm-hmm.
If he misses a game, the Golden State can't beat anyone. Draymond, Stephon, and Durant out.
Yeah.
And Klay just coming back. But if Steph and Draymond and Durant is not on the floor, the Golden State Warriors can't beat anybody in the playoffs.
Wow.
Especially
the Western Conference, man.
Because Steph is hurt, man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Durant has to maintain his poise and stay on the floor.
Well, don't you think
Klay Thompson and Draymond is not enough to win no playoff
game?
Well,
why doesn't he know that, Steve? Why doesn't he stay focused?
He know that. But all them dudes, Rasheed Wallace knew that.
Okay.
It's just some dudes, man. And then once you get a reputation, you know, the refs figure you're not going to show me up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, you know, absolutely correct.
It was a bad call on Durant. It really was a bad call on him. The technical and the lack of foul calling, but it is what it is, man. It's not going to change nothing.
Yeah.
You griping don't change the call. Nobody says, hey, he's hollering at me. Let it go. Change the call.
But you're saying calm it down now so he won't get another one and miss the playoffs.
If he gets another one, he misses a playoff game. And they will not win that game without Steph Curry and Durant on the floor. They can't.
Wow.
The team's not that good because they other players.
They need them.
What they be doing? They shot four air balls.
What they be doing?
Hey, listen, we got to move on.
They shot four air balls in a half.
Coming
y'all
up,
ain't hit no rim, no nothing.
Coming
now,
up next.
I can do that. Give me that ball.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about, you guys are going to love this, job openings at Netflix and at a nudist camp right after this.
There's a joke there, but I ain't saying
it. You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, staying home and binge watching your favorite Netflix shows is a common occurrence these days. A lot of us do that, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Netflix recently listed a new job opening for what they call an
editorial analyst of original content. Now, what that means is the job is basically a professional binge TV watcher, okay?
Say what now?
All right. Netflix recently listed a new job, Steve, for an opening. They call it an editorial analyst of original content. Okay, that's what the job is. That's the technical term of the job. But really, it's just basically a professional binge watcher. If you're into binge watching TV, this would be the job for you. Editorial analyst of original content. That's what you can tell your friends. Oh, I work for Netflix. You know, I'm an editorial analyst of original content.
You watch TV.
Yeah, but, all you're doing is binge watching TV.
What'd that pay?
So, listen, you're not.
Because I got an uncle need a job right now.
Qualified candidates must be knowledgeable about TV and movies.
Oh, that me.
And have an ability to summarize what they're watching.
That'd be me.
Plus, plenty of time on their hands, which this counts you out, Steve. Plenty of time on their hands to watch TV, to watch the programming, okay? So, who do you think would be good at this job?
I got relatives. Everybody
at this job.
My Uncle
binge,
Junior.
Binge watching. Binge watching TV. Steve, you couldn't do it because you have too many other jobs.
I ain't got no time to binge watch. I'm binge making.
You own TV and can't watch yourself.
Right.
You got time.
Because I'm binge making.
You're binge making.
But when you watch TV, do you watch a lot of Netflix?
Well, I watch some. Oh, man, I've got to tell you.
Okay, what, Steve?
You have to watch Netflix. Birdman's documentary of his life is called Before Anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you. Oh, that was my favorite. Before Anything.
Before it became
A-N-Y-T-H-A-N-G.
Before
Anything.
Anything.
My favorite dude, man. Birdman is my favorite cat.
And that's on Netflix?
Dog, I love that dude, man. He reminds me, his friends reminded me so much of my friends. You know, I never was into dope or nothing like that. I'm not saying that at all. I wouldn't.
Just their attitudes and the way they react.
But the way I grew up with them cats and their loyalty to me and our friendship and the things we did on a much different level. Me and my boys wasn't dealing dope or nothing like that. But Birdman's story, man, was so compelling, man. And how he turned his life around. And man, Before Anything,
now he's engaged.
I love the name of Slim
Braxton.
Vision. His boy, his brother Slim. The name of the program is produced by Slim Vision. I love them dudes, man. You don't even understand how I feel about that boy right there.
I gotta watch that.
Man, Before Anything.
Okay.
It's just like that,
it's
too.
Just everything. Before
it's raw. Now, there's some stuff left out. I can promise you that.
You can tell when they left some parts
dog
out.
Dog, some pieces missing in here.
Won't you do one, Steve?
But it was enough. Yep. You know, somebody came to me, too.
Oh, yeah?
They've came to me about my life documentary.
Who going to play me? Probably Cedric.
Well, good one, Jay. Nothing. Silence from Steve.
Silence.
More of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, Steve, tax day is April 17th. So I wanted to ask you.
April 17th?
Yeah, April 17th. We get an extra day, extra couple of days this year because of the way it falls.
It's like a setup.
Yeah,
feel like a setup.
Yeah,
what? Took all the air out of him.
What? You filed quarterly.
Well, you know, the 15th falls on a Sunday this year, so we get
extra days. What did you just say, Tommy?
I asked you, did you file quarterly anyway?
Yeah.
Listen to me, Tommy. April the 15th matter to everybody living. Okay, I don't give a damn if you send it a quarter. You can send it in daily. On the 15th, they ask them, find a way to want some more.
You hear that, Mr. Snipes?
Okay, so Steve, I brought that up because, you know, it's close. And I just wanted to know if you have any tax tips. That was a good one, I think. No. Pay your taxes. Give Caesar its due.
Don't play with these people.
Yeah.
Not at all.
With these people. And everything computerized now. Don't even play with these people. I stay so legal and clean now, Lord have mercy. Yeah. If I owe you, I'm going to pay you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might be a little late, but Lord Jesus,
it's coming.
Before we get into calling me, you're going to have it.
Yeah. And if you get that letter, open it and call. Don't let that letter sit there.
Dog, don't be talking about no, man, the hell with
the
y'all.
Hell.
Yeah. Go yeah. Ahead. Do not let the letter come with red
that.
Writing.
With
Once
red
it
writing?
Start coming with red writing
it's
on
serious.
It.
Yeah.
With red writing.
Red writing, that means open this, you the information change in there.
It's different information.
Yeah. Act
red.
Like you don't see this color.
Yeah.
So, Steve, do you think it's best if people file their own taxes or if they should get a tax preparer or an accountant?
Well, I mean, if you got a simple job, if you're single and simple, you don't need to pay nobody.
Stand at the kitchen
you
table.
Can just do it yourself. Mm-hmm. They got apps and stuff that walk you right through the thing. It's real simple. If you ain't got no dependents, you just filing taxes you've been paying, just write your stuff down. You ain't got no write-offs. They ain't finna play with you.
No, they don't.
Now,
they don't.
If you got a spouse and you got kids, I highly recommend you let somebody look at your taxes.
Yeah. Right.
Because you could be missing child care, daycare credits. You could be missing new laws. See, this new
Tuition.
Law that Trump them passed, is some stuff in there for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I would recommend getting somebody to look at it because you could miss, because there is some stuff in there for you in this new one.
Right. And you don't want to go to a place that does taxes and lawnmower repair.
Yeah.
Stay out of there.
Yeah. Stay out of there.
If they do taxes and anything else.
Yeah. Taxes and bacon.
Yeah.
You don't want to go in there.
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to go in there.
Right.
If they do taxes
and tree trimming,
don't go in there.
Yeah.
Get your taxes done while you wait for your
they
car
say,
to DUI.
Hold up, let me finish these shoes so I can work on your taxes.
Right.
Don't go in there.
Don't go in there.
What about barbershops, beauty shops, and taxes?
No.
They ass in trouble too.
They say the dude in the fourth chair is going to work on your taxes.
Here go another one. Don't let no relative.
Please.
Do that, yours.
That's a big one.
Get you to jail.
Because he's the smartest one in the family.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Because
right
he wear glasses.
And the phrase, I learned this in jail, so I can do your taxes.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah, you ain't Andy Dufresne.
No.
Coming up next, Steve Harvey is back with his closing remarks. Thank God. Because, Lord, remember Tommy's from yesterday about the side pieces. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, last break of the day. Time for your closing remarks. What do you have for us today, my friend?
Well, I did an Act Like a Success seminar this past weekend on Saturday down at in Los Angeles by the airport at the Renaissance Hotel. Doreen Ramey does a good job of running my Act Like a Success seminars, and I was a keynote speaker at the graduation on Saturday. And so I'm going to bring a piece of that to what I talked to them about. And I want to keep motivating people. One of the greatest motivations in my life was my dreams. My dreams were so motivating to me because it put me in a place of not so much focusing on where I was, but it caused me to put my focus on where I was headed. And so as dismal as the where I was, it didn't throw me off. As sinking of a feeling as I had at times in my life because of my dreams, I didn't feel sunken. As low as I had gotten at some points in my life, I didn't ever think I wasn't going to ever come up because of my dreams. My dreams inspired me to keep going. So what I'm saying to you is this. People ask me, Steve, what motivates you? What makes you keep going? It's my dreams. What causes you to keep getting up, going to work when you sick, fighting through all the stuff they saying about you? How do you handle all this negativity around you and you just keep going? It's my dreams. It's my faith in God. It's my faith in God that there's no way he brought me this far to leave me. That because you hating on me, you ain't my God. You ain't my savior. You can't hate me out of what he has for me. and your hating me cannot stop nothing God has for me or for you. So my faith in God and my dreams have been my motivation. So let me share what I shared with them on Saturday. Motivation, look at here now, this is a good one. Motivation is when your dreams put on work clothes. Did you hear me? Motivation is when your dreams put on work clothes. When your dreams dress up and go to work. That's the motivation. Now you motivated. You done put some work clothes on them dreams. Because see, you can stay asleep and have your dreams, or you can wake up and you can chase them. You need to wake up and chase them. You need to wake up and chase them dreams. You need to put some work clothes on them jeans. You got to get some grit, some dirty on you. You got to put work clothes on your dreams. That's your motivation. I'm motivated because, man, my dreams, they keep me going. Because it means I'm headed somewhere. Your dreams make you head somewhere, man. You ain't got to get stuck on here. Like I tell people all the time, I keep a plaque in my office in Atlanta that says, and a dude sent it to me, a friend of mine, when I was going through a bunch of messed up stuff. He sent me a plaque that says, if you're going through hell, just keep going. Why would you stop there? Why would you stop in hell? You're going through hell, just keep going. Because I'm heading somewhere. So all the hell I've been through, I survive it all because of my dreams, because of my faith. Because my dreams allow me to think that a better day is coming. So if a better day is coming, why am I tripping so hard on what's happening today? Because I know the better day is coming. Because one day, somehow, my God gonna make my dreams come true. Simply because, how you know that, Steve? Because he said he would. Now you tell me one thing he said that ain't popped off. You tell me one promise he made he ain't kept. You tell me one thing he done assured you of that you can't rest assured that's going to pop. Just name it. I'm listening. See, I got that much sense as a Christian. As flawed as I am, I have that much sense as a Christian. So those Christians of you that's better than me, congratulations. But guess what? I know that about him, though. I know that his promises is true, and I got enough sense to lean on them. So when you see me falling and making mistakes and doing something wrong and not staying on the white line, you can quit tripping with me. I'll get back on the line. Just give me a minute. I just fell off. I just made a mistake. That's all. I said something I shouldn't have said. I went somewhere I shouldn't have went. I got that. I'm going to get it together. Lord, forgive me, and which he going to do, and I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to get it right again. I'm going to get it right again. My dreams motivate me. My faith motivates me. Motivation is when your dreams put on work clothes. You dig? That's what motivation is. When I'm going to do something about making what I dream about come true. My dreams got work clothes on them. So when you see me out there, my dreams got on work clothes. I'm trying to make it happen. My faith in God gonna make sure that happens. And I just give him something to touch. My dream. Those are my closing remarks today.
Yeah. All right, drop the mic, baby. Drop the mic.
Motivation is when your dreams put on work clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you.
You better get it right. Uh-huh. Keep it pimping. Wasn't supposed to say that.
Then you end it with that.
Just say it.
I'm sorry.
Just say some dynamic stuff.
Y'all have a great weekend. Don't keep it pimping.
No, I like it. I like it. Keep it in there.
Just told me change my life.
Then, yeah. But that's what it is. Y'all know what I mean.
Turn your volume up if you're with me, please. Oh, yeah, I'll be in the
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.